And that we're in the book of Revelation. So I'm going to read from Revelation. We just finished the church of Ephesus. Okay. And they were the ones that lacked love. Remember that? We talked about love for a little bit. And then Pastor Jay ended up talking about love for a series. I'm going to say, so this is the next church, and that church is Smyrna. Okay, and this is Revelation chapter 2. And the first church we saw was love was a big thing, and this church, this is a church undergoing suffering, persecution. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So we'll talk a little bit about this church, but the big thing, and I was using New King James as opposed to King James, but it says, he says, I know, he says, these things say the first and last who was dead and came to life. He talks a lot in this about death and life, and that they're going to have to suffer to death, so to speak, but you'll get the crown of life. Now, actually, you know, that's something for us to think about. You know, in the sense of... there is this ongoing thing. Like right now, as we're in May, and you can sense it, the new life that's coming. You know, as I was driving here, you know, thinking about that. So each year, the seasons, there's death and then life, right? And then there's death and then life elsewhere. And there's one big death. You and I will die, and we will live again. And Christ is talking about himself. He said, I was dead, and I came back to life. But in it's almost like this circle of, if you will, of death and life. We will die, but he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Because there will be those who will be cast into the lake of fire who will die. But not, they'll be alive, but dead. But... that's actually not the focus I wanted to talk on. I want to say, first of all, he's saying that, hey, I went through this and I'm back to life. But he says, I want you to know this. And Hebrews 6:10 is a little bit like this. I know your works. Now, he said that to the church before of Ephesus. I know your works. And I guess that would say something to us, that God is watching our work. It's very it's very simple. But there can be a brand of Christianity that actually is that is that forgets that. That number one, they forget to work, and Paul addressed the Thessalonian church actually about that. Or they forget that God actually is watching my work. There is a work that God is watching, but that's not really what I want to talk about tonight. But I thought it was very interesting that God said it to the church of Ephesus and to the church of Smyrna, that he's watching the work that we do, he watches. And there's the idea is not about necessarily quality as much as quantity. Now, God would prefer to have both if he could, you know, from us. But really, the quality of the work, the quality of my love. Remember, the church of Ephesus, they did the work, they didn't have the love. So the quality of my work is very important to God, and then he is not forgetful of that in Hebrews 6:10. He doesn't forget that labor of love. But here, the second part is what I wanted to spend a couple minutes, and then we'll really continue this next week, which is, and your tribulation. And there's a, from there, and I was thinking about this, there's a portion in the book of Acts, and it's a very interesting portion, and I'm just going to read the verse. It says that the people, the ship was shipwrecked. Paul was on it. And God told, an angel came to tell Paul that, hey, listen, don't fear. You're going to be okay. But Paul, and Paul tells everyone, even though there's a huge storm, stay on the ship. This night it was told to me that it will be okay if we stay on the ship. But honestly, it didn't seem like to that would be the wise thing. Maybe let's go there for in Acts 27. Because an angel of the Lord came to him. Let me just see if I can get this. Up. Okay, let's try this. 27. We'll just read a couple verses to get the story. So he's on the ship. He's a prisoner. Okay, and he tells them in verse 10, this voyage is going to end in disaster and much loss. Not only just for the ship, but also our lives and everything on it. But actually, they didn't listen to him. And so they just kept going. Now a tempest in verse 13, a south wind blows, and that big wind comes up. And they, and like he can see it, he says, my gosh, this is what's going down. And it's they didn't see the sun in verse 20 or the stars for many days. And it was a huge, it, so they were just sick. This went on that they were throwing up overboard the ship's tackle. It was, they were just sick, and they were on the ship in this huge storm. And then, and all hope in verse 20 that we would be saved was finally given up. But no, and after no food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And he says, but take heart. There's not going to be any loss of life, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all of those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that it will be just as God told me. Now, 14th night came, and it was, you know, getting worse and worse, and they were praying for the day to come, and the sailors were, in verse 30, looking to just jump off ship. Then what did Paul tell them to do?
Stay on the ship.
He said, if you stay on the ship, you'll be saved. But now they're freaking out. He tells the head guy, unless these men stay on the ship, you will not be saved. So what did the soldiers do in verse 32? Anybody got the Bible for verse 32? Right, so what did they do?
Got rid of the boats.
You know those little safety boats that, you know, were supposed to save us? They cut them off so nobody would leave the ship. They did the old, you know, burn the ships. Cortez, like when he says, when he thought the men might want to return, all these guys, they would burn all the ships once they got to the New World. That way nobody could go back. So Paul said, so that's what they did. They cut off all means of escape. And the day was about, and he implored them to take food. He goes, listen, honestly, stick with me. And he broke the bread, and they were all encouraged, took food. And there were 266 persons in verse 37. Okay. And then it happened. And verse 41, the place where two seas meet, the ship ran aground, and the stern was broken up by the violence of the wave. And they were going to kill the prisoners, but they didn't do it. And basically, The whole ship broke apart. Remember, he said, you'll lose a ship. You'll keep their lives. And then that last verse, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. So basically, the ship broke up, and they grabbed boards, and every one of them was saved. Now, the only thing I want to say today is that tribulation. There is this fallacy out there that is preached, unfortunately, this prosperity gospel. Everything's supposed to go well, do well, be well. It's not the truth. And when I was, after Hurricane Katrina, and I was down in New Orleans, and the most famous pastor, this was a while afterwards, was gone. And we found out that this guy had preached on prosperity. I was told he had planes, everything, boats, the whole nine yards. And when Hurricane Katrina came in and wiped out everything, it so devastated him that he fled to Texas and went to like a insane asylum, like a hospital. He couldn't handle it. Because why would his God have done that to him? And honestly, we can have these tribulations, these things that are the unexplainable. But honestly, they've all been explained. Maybe not the details of my situation, but God told me that these things, God told me that, hey, listen, Latasha, if you are stick on the ship, you will be saved. The ship may blow up. There's no guarantee that my circumstance is not going to blow up. But God is saying the circumstance may blow up, ship may blow up, but you will be saved. And I need to, like, as a Christian, like, understand the tribulation that is supposed to be a part of my life. There's no mistake here. It's planned. And my best bet is to be like Paul and like this church in Smyrna. I know your works and I know your tribulation, meaning God has measured it. And Paul is listening to what God is saying to him about the tribulation. And that's perhaps my greatest joy, is that God, I could say to everyone around that God has spoken to me. So the greatest thing in the tribulation, in any tribulation, is that God would speak to me. It's not actually so important that he speaks to everyone around me. And they could be losing their heads. You know, the famous poem, when all around you, all others around you are losing their heads. You know, that is, you'll be a man, my son, if you can keep your head. You know, and honestly, it's this idea of, we don't keep our head because, hey, I've got good news. It looks like, hey, guys, stick with it. Let's just pray. I think it'll be sunshine tomorrow. There's no promise of sunshine tomorrow. But this is the thing. I could have my heart in a state where I can hear from God. And Paul had that amazing promise. Now, this continues because it's interesting. They survive on land, all come on ships, and they count and they see everyone's there. And Paul helps build a fire. And when he helps build a fire, there was a snake in the fire. Snake jumps up and bites and hangs on Paul's arm, bites into Paul's arm. Paul shakes his arm and shakes off the snake, and he should have died. And all the men were like, oh my gosh, he's like a god or something. Paul could be cocky. He could be like Psalm 91 talks about this, that 1,000 can fall over here, 10,000 over here, but it's not going to come near me. There's an idea that I can walk through tribulation, in the tribulation. It doesn't mean that the ship is going to do well. And it also doesn't mean that people are going to listen. Paul was a prisoner. Paul wasn't listened to. They stayed where they shouldn't have stayed. They didn't listen to him. He was a prisoner. And so one could even say that, you know, this situation didn't have to get like this. But instead of Paul, like, having long discussions about this situation, about what it shouldn't be like, because, you know, he could have, because really, he told them to do this. He did say, you should have listened to me. But he said, you're going to be saved. And honestly, I want to say, you know, maybe the word tonight that at least God put on my heart was that I know your tribulation, in the sense that that's a promise, the tribulation. That's a promise within our church. There will be trials and tribulation. there'll be misunderstanding, there'll be even potentially evil, and we will have to adjust to it and address it. I mean, Nehemiah built a wall, and he had everything. He had good guys, bad guys, and evil guys around him. And that also can be in a church. And we have to, like, we can pretend it doesn't exist, and that's dangerous, because maybe I'm going to be like, if I'm like that, then this story doesn't read well if I'm reading the story from heaven, and I'm one of the people in that ship, because I was a coward, because God never spoke to me. I didn't even have a walk with God that he could speak to me. I was an unbeliever. I didn't even believe. You know, I am all of these things, but I am not godly. But if I am like Paul, the story reads differently. We both will go through the tribulation. In my house, in a church, in my family, we may all go through the tribulation. But I can choose to go through it like Paul, where I get the fellowship of God, and I get the promise of God to the point where I can tell you what's going to happen, because even as God spoke it to me, and I can be an encourager. Because what if Paul kept his mouth shut? Men tried to get off. He tells them, you know, why should he care? But Paul cared. So now he saved much people alive, just like Esther did in that respect, by him speaking up. Because the angel already had told him, you're good to go. And everyone on the ship who stays. But Paul could have just stayed on the ship and I'm good to go. And honestly, that can be in tribulation. You know, once, many years ago, well, there was a great trial in the church that I was a part of. And there was conspiracies and everything else. And somebody once said to me, and I said, oh, you know, what's going on? You're going anywhere? And I was much younger. And they said, no, because when the ship rocks, the rats leave. And I never forgot that. You know, I was young enough to where that stuck with me. And I said, you know, like, this is my seat. This is where God planted me. Now, Paul already had the confidence of the fact that God had spoken to him. But he is attempting to save as many people as possible. He is attempting to live in the promise that God has given him. And he's walking in a confidence in the midst of, like, this whole chapter. I mean, I was skipping verses. It reads like a novel, you know what I mean, of, like, all the storm and everything else. And yet Paul is adamant. At one point he tells, hey, guys, you guys haven't eaten. Let's eat. And let's just thank God for the food. And you're just like, you know, okay, what is going on? But there's a confidence. You see, trials I may not be happy all the time in a trial, tribulation. And I can be, and it can make me edgy if I'm not careful. Or I can say, wow, if I'm in this, then God must speak to me. But, and this is what's important about what I'm about to say, and it's maybe going to be kind of the focus of the summer. But God speaking to me, my soil has to be ready for him to speak. Meaning, like, it can't be, how do I put it? God was already speaking to Paul before he got on the ship. God has to be able to speak to me before the tribulation, or when the tribulation comes, I don't even mark it. And I'm not available for God to speak to me. I am just like the sailors. Do you get me? I'm no different than the sailors. But if I have this habit of God speaking to me, I will recognize where I'm at. And I'll recognize the moment when God speaks to me. And just like Christ told his disciples, that which you hear in darkness, speak in the light. So Paul hears this in darkness, God speaks to him, and he is able to speak confidently on that ship. Otherwise, I'm just like the sailors. And unfortunately, as Christians, I can be inside a church just like the sailors. Because I don't have God speaking to me. And that's so important. And he needs to be able to speak to me before the trial. Or I'm no different. I mean, I'm going to play out. I may be saved. You know, I make, you know, through other people's words or what have you, but I am being pulled along like a coward. And I am not the hero of my story, so to speak. This is, Paul is a hero in this story. And not that we walk around wanting to be heroes, but you know what? I do want to be, I would like to exercise what we call fidelity, loyalty to God. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to say, you know what? I, like David, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. So here's Goliath. I want to be able to say, like the three Hebrew boys, that King, we're not going to be careful to answer you in this matter. God already was talking to us before. We got to know him before, so I'm certainly not going to change the tune now. It's very easy in the tribulation to change my attitude toward the things that I'm in, to change my heart, which a year ago could be completely different. And actually, you watch this changing of these hearts, because to me, the sailors are no different than the waves. They moved it with the waves. So we're on dry ground now, and I will read this one verse, they still don't know God. So by 28, remember I said he bites a viper bites him. And verse 4, and they saw the creature hanging from his hand, and they said, he's a murderer, he's going to die. But he shook off the creature no harm. However, they thought he would die, and therefore they changed their mind. He's no longer a murderer, he's a god. Okay, so these are natives, these are not the shipmates, but do you see, like, I will be either like the sailors, or I'm going to be like the natives. One minute, oh my gosh, this bad thing happened to Latasha, so it must be that, you know, she's getting whatever she deserves. Or, oh my gosh, good things are happening to Latasha. Then you know what? Latasha must be, you know, do you get me? Like, they're godless. They are moving with circumstances. They're not people that you want to talk to, because depending on what's going on, they're going to go up and down. Just like the sailors did. The sailors and the natives are basically the same. But I'm to walk. But here's the thing. We all walked through the tribulation. Paul walked through it with the sailors. Paul walked through it with the natives. But Paul was different. The tribulation will come. Your finances will go up and down. Your friendships will go up and down. Families and misunderstanding goes up and down. But there's this rock solidness that, and the rock is not that Latasha's strong. The rock is that I know where to go. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Like, I can go to the rock, and then that makes me a rock. You know, and I am not like these others. You know, although I come in on the same piece of board. It wasn't like Paul, and then he walked on water to shore. He's gulping for air. He's barely surviving. He didn't eat as well. And we can have that feeling that we're going up and down with the waves, but I can be Paul-like. And he says to this church, I know your works, and I know your tribulation. And he says, I know your poverty, but you're rich. You know a secret, Paul, you're rich. I believe, he said, it will be exactly as God has spoken to me. We can excuse ourselves, approve ourselves, recuse ourselves. We can do all those things. And I am a sailor and I am a native. I may live, but there's a part of me that's dead. Because only Paul really lived. Can you imagine? Paul tells the story. This is what God said. This is what's happening. This is what happens next. He tells the story. He's the hero of his own story because he is the story. We don't have the names of the sailors or the natives. The exploits were completed by Paul. The fact that he walked with God. You and I are not escaping tribulation. We are on the ship. We're not on our own little rowboat. We're not going to be able to escape on a skiff. We're not going to be, you know what I mean? We're on it. And we're either the people that, you know, in one sense you look at them in pity, you maybe give them a word of encouragement, you know, that'll last maybe the day, maybe. Or maybe, or I am Paul. Because that's really how I was, that's who I was designed to be. God is not taking the tribulation away. But it is possible to spend my whole life like a native. Oh, that's God. Oh, that's a murderer. You know? Oh my gosh, jump the ship! Oh, he said good words. He said we're going to be okay. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. You know what I mean? It's like, he said we're going to be okay. We're going to die. Okay, let's do this. Do this, do this. It's like this whole, we can live in panic. We can forget. So, this church, God wrote a letter to, I know your works. But he introduces himself by saying, I'm he that was dead. And yet I'm alive. These things may kill us, but we will not, but it will not be a death that we will not rise again from. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? We will overcome. And maybe that's, but the key is asking ourselves and it's asking God. And if I ask God, I believe that he will speak. I do. But I believe I must ask him. I must be available to him to speak. Because he will not force himself. You've saved everyone. This is, you know, if you want to think about this, this is a picture of the church. The sailors are all saved. Everyone gets saved, but missed a whole lot. And everyone is saved. Everyone will go through the tribulation. I've said it like 5 or 6 times. I hope it's heard. We will not be escaping the storm. But we could embarrass ourselves as we're saved. We may need to make adjustments. But if I, before the storm comes, if I learn to cherish the voice of God and cherish the godly things in my life, they'll steady me in the storm. And though the ship is moving, I'll not be moving. It's before the storm that you build things up. So that when the storm comes, you're okay. Not just okay because you've been saved. I mean you're okay. You have the voice of God to cling to. And he is better than a board. Okay. Amen?
Amen.
So maybe this summer that would be, if it has been neglected to cultivate, to recultivate that voice. And if I don't know it yet, I'm still learning it, that's where 7th footsteps will be perfect. I just think it's going to be an amazing, it's always been fantastic. So I think that it's key. But let's, you know, when I was in that trial that I spoke of, and it was so intense, God gave me this thing, and it was definitely, it was called follow the anointing. And basically what it meant was, I would, like Paul, I just sensed that God was saying, follow the things that are of God, and don't pay attention to anything else. If it smells like not God, then it isn't. But I don't have to dwell on it. I don't have to pay attention to it. But I follow the things that tend to godliness. And in doing so, you escape everything else. It's kind of like when they left Sodom and Gomorrah, all they had to do was look this way, and they would escape the things that an entire city that was being destroyed by God. God destroyed the whole city; it went up in smoke. But if I follow after the things that are of God, if I focus my attention on the things that are of God, honestly, I will find that that I will get through a storm. And in some cases, there's a verse that talks about this, I will be like the person who doesn't even know the heat when it comes. Someone will say, did you know it was really hot? Oh, really? I didn't know it. My leaf will stay green. So that can happen. So follow those things. And if something is not or whatever, then you don't give it even, don't spend time on it. Don't spend time on it. It's not worth your thought. And then you'll get to the other side, and this did happen to me, and you'll live in wonderment at how much that you didn't get exposed to, how much God protected you, how much God preserved you. And then and your life will be like Paul's, maybe like the natives looked at Paul as they looked at him like a god. This doesn't, you know, the viper bit you. How come it didn't sting? Why are you alive? And that will be what will be for us. I will be like Paul. You know? Because I will be as God in that area. Because I just am not going to entertain anything else. Follow after godliness this summer. May we all do it. May we all take those extra times, pull that Bible out, read some extra verses, find some great missionary biographies that are so great, or like meditate on the word that's preached. Like summertime was always my favorite. I could, because there was always extra hours where I could just get to know God and get to know the books about Him, you know, and the Bible. And I memorized tons of verses from the summer. So, that's what I want to say. And then, you know what? Then you'll be prepared when the storm comes. Yeah. Amen? Appreciate you guys' patience and your prayers, time. And our new, and our summer location, you know. So we can finally meet here.